What's beautiful about this situation is, you know, this bad news came in like a wrecking ball, man. It came in and it devastated not just a family, but it devastated us as a church. And a lot of people have suffered greatly. And, you know, when a pastor was asking me the other day, we were talking over our life, and I just said, yeah, man, do you know we had COVID that came in, and like everybody else, suffered and tried to figure all that out. And then we weren't far into COVID, and my daughter ends up with leukemia, so we're in the hospital. She's in her first year of treatment, and we had to fire a staff member. That's weird. You never think you would have to ever do that in a church. That was hard. So we had to let go. That hurt deeply. And then we were at the end of COVID. It is when they arrested Mike and when they accused him of just the most horrible thing you could ever think of, you know. So it's been hard. What's been tough is, you know, to endure, you know. I'm going to speak on reproach here after they get done, but I guess I want to say a couple things. I want to say, this day's been a long time coming. Like, we've been waiting for this day. And I had the biggest fear I had as a pastor was that this news came in like a wrecking ball, and I didn't want it to fade away like a butterfly. I think we need to shout it out from the mountaintops, God's glory, and give Christ credit for what has been done. And this is one reason we thought we better rent a hall. We didn't even want to do it in here. We thought, no, let's go bigger. Let's go a little bit more public with this. Because this thing did go public. That was odd. There's things that people don't even know. They don't even know that happened through this thing. And when I get to my part, I'm going to share a little bit of that and how us as a church, what we've been through. And I don't even want to pretend as a pastor I've been through what they have been through. The beauty about this is going to be is how faithful God has been. And Mike even said Wednesday night, he says, I feel like I have not been faithful, but God's not budged, and God's been faithful to me. And so that's what I want, is I want us to hear from them, their journey, their walk with Christ through every step, every day, every week, and how God has totally sustained them. So let's do that. Mike and Maria, I don't know if just one of you want to come up, or we don't have to stand up here. Okay. Just use that microphone and give us the goods. Okay. I'll sit behind you.
The entire time we were going through this, I was keeping a journal on my phone, like on a Google Doc. And I told Mike, I can't even begin to process everything until I've read that journal. Well, I printed it out. I have not begun to process it just yet because it's over 500 pages long. But it's funny, and I have found this in reading several devotionals and books during this time, that they'll say to you, do you ever feel like God isn't answering your prayers? Yes. Do you feel like God is being silent? Yes. Can I tell you something? I opened page one of my journal. God was not silent, you guys. God was not distant. Can I have like a thing to put this on? This was what was happening the day of Mike's arrest. So I was supposed to have discipleship that morning, and it got canceled. And I'm so thankful that it got canceled, because that would have been like a very traumatic discipleship meeting for poor Melanie. But so I'm already sitting at my back table, and it's June. So we had planned to go to camp in August. We made a list of songs that we were going to lead at camp. And I had just decided that week, we were talking about it, that the theme song for camp was going to be Surrounded, Fight My Battles. Because ironically, or not so ironically, the theme of camp that year was the battle. So we'd been, you know, putting together all these songs about the battle. And so I'm like, well, I'm just going to sit here and practice this. So I sat down at my table, got the guitar out, and I was practicing this song. And this is the words. There's a table. Bear with me. There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. Sorry. It's your body and the blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. In the valley, I know that you're with me, and surely your goodness and mercy follow me. Oh, this is so frustrating. I don't want to cry. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. This is how I fight my battles. And I made it to the bridge of the song. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And I'm in the middle of singing the song. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And my phone rang. And Mike said, "You're not gonna, this is crazy. I've been arrested. I need you to come and get me." And I'm like, I forgot what I was doing. I forgot what I was thinking. I just knew that my life has come to a screeching halt, and I can't think and I can't breathe. And before I knew it, Mike and Bethany and Josephine were all at my house. The girls stayed with my kids, and we were bailing my husband out of jail. Completely surreal. And it kills me how over the past 15 months, how many times I've said, "God, why aren't you answering my prayers? Why are you silent?" And I told Mike this morning, it's almost comical because I'm looking through this journal, and this was going down in June. In mid-July, I'm in my journal going, "God, I don't want to wait anymore. I don't want to be in this valley anymore." It hadn't even been a month yet, you know, and I'm just like, "I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. I'm not strong enough for this." But God was not silent. And literally, like 20 minutes, we picked Mike up. We're driving around town because we didn't want to go home. And the song popped back in my head. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And I literally just felt like God was putting his hands on either side of my face and going, "I'm right here. It's okay." So I know it may seem like whatever battle you're facing in your life, that maybe God's not answering your prayers and he's silent and you don't understand and you're frustrated. He's not rattled by your frustration. He's still just as faithful as he was before your battle began. I just wanted to share one more thing. The following day, so we're like, we got to get out of town. Stuff hit social media. We felt like we can't even be here. Everybody hates us. We left town. That night, it had been raining on and off all day, which I kept telling people, I think, because God is crying for us. but there was a rainbow in the sky, and Mike and I both just kind of stood there quiet. I took a picture with my phone, and Mike's like, "God is faithful. God is faithful to us." So we woke up the next day. Bethany texted me the song "Be All Right" by Danny Gokey and Evan Kraft, and I was a little behind because I'd never heard it before, but the second verse just like was literally word for word what I was struggling with, where I was at in my life. "Father, you say everything is going to be all right, but my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now. I need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough. I need you." That's where I was living. And that same day, after I heard that song, the church reading was in 2 Chronicles. Praise the Lord that the church reading was in 2 Chronicles, because it was exactly what we needed to hear that week. But 2 Chronicles 18:18 said, "Again, he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And I wrote in my journal, God is not rattled by this. He's still in charge and he's still sitting on the throne. In verse 31, it says, it came to pass when the captain of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed him about to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and the Lord moved them to depart from him. So it looked like he was surrounded, but he was surrounded by the Lord. And it was just a few days later, and Mike shared this verse on Wednesday night, and it's kind of been our verse this entire time. But it was 2 Chronicles 20, and I'll read it how I wrote it in my journal. And this is how I always read it to my family. But it's, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Schmitz. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And we weren't going to come to church that following Sunday because honestly we thought, we weren't sure if anybody wanted us to come to church on Sunday. It was just so bad. It was so dark. It was so ugly. And Mike and I talked to Mike Blake on the phone Saturday, and we both just bawled our eyes out. And Mike's like, no, I think you need to be here. And I'm like, but probably not singing. You probably don't want us in the band. And he's like, no, I do. And I was so nervous until I started to sing on Sunday morning, and I can't tell you how good singing praises to the Lord has been for me, and not just up here, but just like in my everyday life. Like a lot of the pages in this book are song lyrics that have just God has used in my life. But when we do music on Sunday mornings, Mike and I look at the song list and we schedule it like a month in advance. So we didn't know, obviously, that this was going to happen when we were singing on Sunday, but two of the songs on the list that morning were Defender and Everlasting God. And I was just shocked and amazed. It was just like, we weren't even going to come, you know, it just looked so bad. But here we were, and we were singing those praises right back to the Lord. So that's all I wanted to share this morning. Like, I'm sure that by the time the party comes, I'll have a chance to read my novel and maybe process my thoughts a little more. But I guess if I had one thing to say this morning, it's that it may seem like God is distant in your trial, but he is right there with you always. And that's all.
my journal here. I'm joking. Just trying to act godly. I want to read a psalm, and I understand that it's 28 verses long, but we've got several hours, so you guys, you know, can sit tight. Being in the Psalms during this was great for me. Now, I'll say the church reading was great, too, because God used it, and I'm going to share several journal entries of mine that where I would, like, wake up in the morning and pray something specifically, and then in the reading, God would address me directly. And so first, I'd just like to say, Jesus is amazing, and praise the Lord, he's so good to me. He is good all the time, and he's wonderful. Okay, Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I have behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself, and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so we have it, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continuously, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. That's my story. And the end of this story is, A, the church should shout for joy, and B, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. So I'm going to glorify the Lord the rest of my life. And I know that was long, but guys, going through, sorry, this might be a little disjointed at times, but, going through this was, really terrible, but I'm reminded of when the disciples are in the boat with Jesus, and they're all fearing and going, oh, God, we're all going to die, and Jesus rebukes the storm and causes the storm to cease, and, there's lots of things that can be preached about that, but one is that if the disciples weren't in the storm, they wouldn't have been close to Jesus. That's where Jesus was at. Jesus was in the boat in the storm. So if they weren't in the storm, they wouldn't have been with Jesus. So, of course I would like to say, well, I would have preferred to not have gone through that storm, but it brought me closer to Jesus. Jesus spoke to me many times directly, which is amazing because I'm just a man, and the God of the universe that created all things spoke to me many times, and it's amazing. And I'm going to share a few of those things. I also want to share, that going through this too has been a privilege in a way, because now Jesus is the man who suffered most in the history of all history, and probably next to him would be Job. And so I'm not saying I'm close to suffering as much as Jesus or Job has suffered by any means. But I do want to say that I did suffer, and I got to experience a little bit of what Jesus went through, which is neat because I get to identify with his sufferings when he was accused falsely and people didn't believe him and they put him on trial and mocked him and everybody said, oh yeah, let's see if God helps him. And, you know, we all know what happened there. Jesus came back from the dead. Okay. And, so he's alive today. And, so I got to experience a little bit of suffering, in a similar way. I had a Judas in my life who stabbed me in my back. I've never been betrayed worse in my life by any other person. And I got to experience that too. The Bible says in Psalms that I should have wrote it down, but you'll probably recall there's a Psalm where David says, you know, mine own acquaintance, you know, was with me. We used to go into the temple daily. And then, you know, basically the guy, person turned around and stabbed David in the back. And so I got to experience a little bit of what Jesus went through, have close friends, people that I've ministered with, and not just people that directly tried to seriously harm me, but other people who I've known and ministered with over the years tried to cause me harm as well, and just because they're spiteful. But God's going to deal with them. And I'll tell you, it's not my job. I'm going to stop trying to bash on people because it's not my job to hurt others or to take down the state's attorney or to stick it in people's faces. What my job is to do is to glorify Jesus Christ. So God says that vengeance is his, right? And God will take vengeance on people as he sees fit. And it's not for me to say what God should do there. But I'm going to leave that in God's hands where it belongs. So another thing, before I read some of these journal entries, I was thinking last night, I stayed up like real late last night eating ice cream and like watching TV. This verse came into my mind. It must just be from the Lord. But I got it written down here. It's in Chronicles 12, 38. You don't have to turn there. First Chronicles 12. But anyway, this is just like a bit of exhortation for the church that we need to, like the Bible says, that we need to endure hardness as a good soldier. Okay? And there's a reason why there's a whole list of armor we're supposed to put on. And there's a reason why we're supposed to endure. And, you know, the Bible basically says that we are in spiritual warfare. It's nasty. So if you don't experience that, you know, that sounds good, and I don't wish pain on you or anything like that, but you know, that's what's going on. We're all supposed to be in spiritual battle. And so this verse came to me last night from the Lord, and it says this. All these men of war, basically, there was a big list of all the armies of Israel or the men of war. And it says, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And I want to focus on the part that says that these were men of war and they could keep rank. Okay, so keep rank, think about people going into battle. And if you want to sit down, I might be up here for 2 hours.
All right.
I'm just kidding. You can stay up. But so think about people going into battle in the old times. It wasn't like today, but like people would, you know, like stand, you know, maybe in a line, and then the other army would stand in a line over there, and they'd jeer at each other, and then, you know, they'd be like, okay, let's do this, and they'd march forward. And if you kept rank, stay with your brothers, go into battle. Although you might die, and although you might see them die next to you, you had to keep rank and keep fighting. Otherwise, you guys would form a rout and run away, and then everybody dies or gets, you know, spoiled. So, you know, many times in the Bible, there's reference to battle, and the church is in a battle, and we're supposed to be soldiers of Christ. And so God wants men and women in this church who can keep rank. And that means when stuff gets hard and your brothers and sisters are going through difficulty, you don't turn your back on them. You know, you don't go away because it's easy for you. You know, and, oh, this makes me look bad, so I'm going to go away. And so that's one thing, is that God wants us to, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, you know. And what I got to experience in this was I got to experience people actually bearing my burdens with me, many of the people in this church. So it's, we have a real church here because, you know, it's not based on politics where, well, this looks bad, so we better, you know, we better kick Mike out of the church. You know, if that were the case, they would have tried to kick Jesus out of the church, but I suppose that, you know, I suppose they did. But anyway, you know, God wants us to be able to stick together, to fight through hard times. Guys, if I didn't have the church and people that I could feel safe with, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. You know, I have in my journal here, there's days where I kind of just wanted to maybe be dead. I don't think, you know, like that I would actually go through with that, because, you know, I'd be too afraid to kill myself. But there was days when I didn't want to be like myself anymore. And there's a verse in Job that I remember, and I'm off the top of my head here. And he says, you know, basically, like, lay me in the grave until these sorrows be past. And, like, I kind of just wanted to, like, be put away until this was over. And, but God gave me a church and pastors and brothers that, like Maria said, that Saturday, we're talking to Mike, and we're like, well, we don't want to be there, you know? Like, is anybody going to even want us? Because, you know, wasn't sure if people would believe all the lies or not, you know? And Mike said, yeah, you should come. So it's, you know, I needed people to pull me out of the pit. You know, you can't get yourself out of there by yourself. And so without the church, you're left to your own devices, and it's not going to lead you to the place. And so I'm very thankful to have a church that actually believes what the Bible says and says, no, we're going to stick with our brother. Here's another shout out for our pastors and our people in this church. The Bible says that we're supposed to know them that labor among us, that are above us in the Lord. And that's what's so good about having a local church is, I've been here for like, I don't know, 10, 11 years, something like that. And I know my pastors, okay? They know me. I come to them with my problems. They know my heart on a lot of things. And they know my weaknesses, you know? And so when something like this arises, I have people who know me, you know, who can say, no, we know that man. You know, we've seen him in his struggles. We've seen him raise his kids. We've seen him deal with his wife. And that's not who he is. So when you don't have that form of a relationship with people in your church, and obviously we can't be, you know, 100% close with every single person in the church. I'm not saying that. But I just mean having a church and having people who really know you really matters in a time when you need it. Because you just need people on your side. So yeah, this was really, really difficult, but throughout it, God never gave up on me. And it's amazing because like I said on Wednesday, you know, I have not been faithful to the Lord all the time throughout this. There's so many days where I just thought, no, the only way this is going to end is with me dead or me in prison, probably being murdered there. And, you know, it was very hopeless at times feeling. But what's interesting is, you know, if you look at the first chapter of Genesis, you can start to see a pattern of things that happen. So when God says, let there be light, what happens? You guys can answer this. Light showed up, right? He said, you know, let the dry land appear. What happened? Dry land appeared. So you start to see this pattern right away that when God says something, that goes down. right? So God showed me something, and Maria, it's that verse actually that she read. I'll read it again real quick just as a reminder, but doesn't he say, hearken, all ye Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. So God gave us this verse, and he was literally speaking to me, saying, Mike, stand still. Don't be afraid of the multitude. The battle's not yours. It's God's. You don't need to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And there were so many days when I thought, I don't know if this is going to go down the way that says. But you know what happened? That's what God said, right? And we just saw the pattern. What God says, that's what happens. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't need to fight. I just had to be here. I just had to stand still. And God fought for me. And he never loses. He wins. It's amazing. Some of this stuff I didn't have prepared, so I'm just kind of excited. But like even the whole vision conference I felt was for my benefit. You know, like Brian Clark wasn't necessarily committed to coming, and then Mike showed him our building, how we'd been spray painted, and he's like, oh, that's terrible, I'm coming. And he came and preached this whole message about Goliath and David and how the enemy's standing and roaring and trying to get you to cower, trying to get me to cower, but you know, God is going to fight our battles. God, you know, God gave David the ability to go and kill that giant. So I just felt like the whole vision conference was for me. It was great. So I'm gonna share a couple things out of my journal just to show that God spoke to me like so clearly a few different times. Here's one thing that's amazing is shortly after I was arrested, I had to have an attorney. And I didn't realize this, but when you hire an attorney, they want money like now. And so I didn't have $30,000, but that's how much it was going to cost to get me an attorney. And, through a tragedy in my family, my dad passed away. My mom was given some insurance money, and she was living in Tennessee at the time. Of this event, and that she had the money to pay for me to have a lawyer. And so this is something that I read. This is something I read shortly after this. This is 2 Chronicles 25:9. Okay, it says, and Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Okay, and so this guy's all worried because he spent all this money on this army, and then like they didn't end up fighting or something, and he's like, well, what am I going to do about my money? And the guy's like, well, God can give you that back, no big deal. Well, my mom shelled out $30,000 to get me a lawyer, and then later on, she had some other tragedy in her life, and she was in Illinois again, but when she sold her home, God gave her all that money back. She made more money on the sale of her home than $30,000 profit. She got all that money back from the Lord. And that's just like another example of where, you know, God provided for me and then returned that money to my mom, you know. That's pretty amazing. And he told me that he could do it and that he was going to do it. So this one verse that was great for us during this time. Now, a lot of the times in the church reading, like, God would speak to me through there, but also sometimes in the verse of the day. Just, you know, I'd click that, and it was just, like, really timely and great. But this one was really good for us to think on. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. That's just been a great verse for us. That's a good one. So here's one also that this was shortly after I was arrested. We happened to be in 2 Timothy at the time as a church. And I hadn't read this morning. It was a Sunday. And I hadn't, it was a Sunday that Mike told me about it, but so anyway, I read it later, but the verse says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And so Mike comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, I just read the reading, you know, God's going to deliver out of every evil work, and, you know, that's what's going to happen in life." And that's exactly what happened. Some songs that have been really good for me throughout this time, you know, we really like music at our house. There's a song, I believe it's called "Goodness in My Life" by Toby Mac. It's really great for me. Another song called "God is on the Throne" by We the Kingdom. And another song that was really good is called, like, what's it called, Maria? "Love and the Remix" or something? "Love the Remix" was really good. Who does that one? We Are Messengers. That one's really great for us, too, for me. Guys, there was times when, you know, because God kept telling me, "Hey, I'm going to save you from this." And then, like, I'd wake up in the morning and just go, "God, please confirm to me that you're really going to save me from this. Please tell me something." And I would pray that. And then this is what happened this one day. I asked God to confirm, the word "confirm" here is important, that he was going to save me. And this is what I read. "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them that an end of all strife. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained..." Oh, I read it again. Anyway, God showed me. He's like, "Hey, I'm giving you an oath of confirmation right now. You want confirmation? I'm giving you an oath of confirmation. And that should be the end of all strife." And guys, if I would have been more faithful, you know, I could have lived with more joy during this time. But, you know, because God was trying to calm me the whole time, tell me it was going to be okay. My daughter gave me a little Bible verse that she wrote down. And it was Psalm 55:22. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And I keep that one in my wallet. But God gave my daughter a Bible verse to share with me, and it was super awesome. You know, something about this was very difficult, that there was so many gut punches, and it's just like every week there'd be another jab, you know, another hit. So, like, you know, for instance, like, first I was questioned, and that was very, very, you know, concerning and upsetting. And then a month later, you know, I got arrested. And then, shortly after that, it went up on social media. Shortly after that, I found out people that used to claim they loved me didn't anymore. And you know it's funny, here's a verse too I want to put up in my house, and I think about it. It's Mike brought it up a few weeks ago, and Paul goes to the city and they want to make him like a god, right? And he's like, "Don't do that." So like they bring out these garlands and they want to worship Paul, and he's like, "Don't do that." Anyway, they really love Paul, and then like the next chapter they're stoning him outside the city, like trying to kill him. And they love him 1 minute, and then they're trying to kill him. And with Jesus Christ, it's the same exact situation. 1 minute, they're welcoming him into Jerusalem and laying down palm branches. And then, like, you know, like, shortly thereafter, they're hanging him on a cross and spitting at him and beating him. And that's what people do. Not all people, but that's what people do who aren't really following the Lord. And, so that's just something to remember, you know, like, you know, my trust has to be in Jesus, not in people. People, you know, can let you down. So this, just one punch after another. So, you know, then I get, you know, nobody likes me anymore. And then, not nobody. Then I get letters from the state saying that I gotta surrender my firearms, which, you know, it's just like, it's just one thing after another. It's like, well, okay, well, what else do I got to do? And then, you know, then I was removed from my home for about 3 months and slept in Bob's house. And that was difficult. Then somebody spray painted our church. And then that was really a very misguided, disabled woman came into our church, harassed me during our worship service. And, you know, many of you probably remember that. That was very traumatic. I went and cried for very hard after that. And just spent a lot of tears over the situation. And it's just like the hits didn't stop coming until, I don't know, maybe like a month or 2 months into it. But it was really difficult. But the whole time, God stayed with me. And, you know, here's something really, really interesting where God spoke to me, again, out of our church reading. August 22nd was when we had a person come into the church and disrupt things. And then August 24th, this is what I read in the Bible, Jeremiah 33, 25 through 26. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. And it's like, and then shortly after that, it says, O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? I read that in Psalms. But, like, that's pretty amazing, you know? God is sovereign, so the things I'm reading in the Bible aren't just like, I'm not just opening my Bible and going, okay, what's this one say? You know, it's, I'm not doing the magic eight ball. This is all coming out of like, you know, our reading or, you know, or the verse of the day or something like that. So it was just amazing that God kept speaking to me throughout this whole thing. It's just really, really a blessing. Let me just kind of review here. One message that was super good for me, April 10th, Mike was preaching, and he said, Christianity is a contact sport. And it really is. And, you know, Jesus told Peter that the devil wants to sift you like wheat. And it's like, that's not like a bluff, you know, like Putin, you know, going, hey, I'll nuke the planet, you know, or whatever. Maybe he's not bluffing, but the devil wants to hurt you, you know, and he wants to hurt me. And, you know, that's why it's so important to be grounded in the Word and to stay close with Jesus. And I, like, praise the Lord, I got to get closer with Jesus through this. One thing that was, another message that was really good was the Easter message. Bo preached about Lazarus being sick and dying, and Jesus waited and allowed Lazarus to die before he came and saved the day. And so, like, through this time, it's like we're waiting and going, oh, what, you know, what's going to happen here? But it's like God's going, it's not time yet. I'm gonna do it when it's time. Another day, April 21st, I woke up and I was afraid, and I told God, I said, you know, I'm afraid every day, and I don't want to be. And then I read in Psalm 3 that day, and it says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. And guys, again, these are just instances where God's, like, I tell God, God, I'm really afraid all the time. And then that reading, that day's reading is God going, don't be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves around about you. You know, and so God just kept speaking to me, kept lifting me up, and was always faithful to me. He still is. He's so good. He's given me salvation. He's given me a great wife and kids and a home and a church and his word. And not only has he saved my soul, but he saved my life and he saved my family. And he saved our church too, because our church took some bad reputation, you know, over this. But another message that was super good for me was one day, it was near Christmas, and Mike was preaching again and said, you know, Mary and Joseph, you know, had this Jesus born to them, and they lost their reputation. You know, everybody's like, those people are bad.
But it was like just the opposite. You know, it's like those people were doing what God wanted. But the world said, no, you guys are bad. And so, you know, just like Job, you know, Job's friends, you know, when bad things happen, it doesn't mean that you're in the wrong. You know, maybe it means that the devil wants to sift you like wheat, and so he's going to do all that he can. But praise the Lord that Jesus Christ is stronger than the devil, and he is going to continue to protect me. So thank you, Jesus, and thank you to you guys for all the prayers. And we can talk more about that stuff later, too.
Man, I want to thank you guys for just standing. You know, when it's been hard to stand, and a lot of times I can't say I was standing like a soldier. I was standing a broken man, saying, "God, you better sustain us here, because I don't know if I can get through this." I got a whole message to preach, and I don't think I have time to preach it. So. Because I think we need to walk through this together. But I guess a few things I'd like to say. Mike, thank you for being a man of character. I told Mike from the very beginning, I said, let me be your pastor. Because I had people tell me to pull him off the stage. And guys, and I get it. People had really good reasonings behind this. And I kept going to God's word. I had pastors tell me that same thing, and I thought, my gosh, we got an innocent man here. I said, Mike, be patient with me, because if one thing comes out that you weren't real clean on, I'm probably going to have to pull you off. I mean, we want to see you through this. And he's like, and you totally just said, yes, we'll let you pastor us. And but you made it easier for me, because not one thing has stuck. And I'm thankful for that. And what the real godly people did for me is they kind of dug in Mike's life and said, yeah, but what about this? It had nothing to do with this situation or this case. And, you know, Mike said this 3 years ago. I was like, my gosh, would we not be in trouble if that came out for all of us, you know? But I'm just saying, with this situation, this case, you showed yourself to be a man of God. And honestly, through this process, God has even done reproving in Mike. He has said several times, boy, this is an area I'm changing in right here, because I can see where this has kind of bit me, made me look bad in other areas. So that's the Lord doing that stuff in your life. So anyways, I just want to thank both of you for doing that and for, you know, walking clean and just having character and in your life. And yet never perfect, but walking with the perfect one. Being refined by perfection. Hey, church, I'd like to say something, like, as we wrap this thing up in closing, is, you know, as a church, we tell people, learn to walk with the Lord daily. Open this book. Let God speak to you. You know, one thing I pride myself in as a pastor, I reproduce rebellious people. That's what I want to do. I want a group of people that will stand with this book against the entire world. They'll stand against culture. They'll stand against the devil. They'll stand and they'll hold true to this book. Now, on the other side of that, I create rebels. So I frequently get people stand up and look me in the eye and say, Pastor, you're wrong. I know better than you. And we part ways. That's how it works. If you read the Bible, that's how it works. Paul's even standing at the end like, don't feel like many people are standing. It's the way it works. Jesus goes to the cross and the disciples took off, you know. Of course, they come back later and like, my gosh, that was pretty jacked up. But I want to let you know a few things here that as your pastor, walk with Jesus. Daily get in this book. He'll never fail you. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. And some people say, I don't see you following Christ in this area. I get it. I totally understand it. The whole point is, follow Christ. I don't think they would be where they're at if we weren't daily in the Word. As a church, we started a reading program. We've done this now for several years. And what's beautiful about it is when you open up the church reading, Like, I would not know what I'm reading. Like, it's scheduled out for me. So, like, it's easy to go through bad times and go, I'm going to look up verses on fear. I'm going to look up verses on how right I am. You know, I'm going to read a book and things that will soothe my heart when sometimes God says, dude, I want to chisel that thing. So thank you for submitting yourself to our church and where we're going. And look what it's done. Look what it's done. And I'm just telling you, church, walk with Jesus. Some of you might not be here. We'll all move away. All that will happen. Life happens, right? Never let go of this book. Walk with God's word. And what I love about this is God directly speaking to them. Mike and them never posted stuff up and even said to me that, man, we're reading this book right now, you know, and it's amazing the songs that came out. They came out during the season. Like, God did that for them. Some guy wrote a song in California, it ended up hitting the airwaves. They got a hold of it and they're like, wow. And God says, that was for you, you know. But the sustainment has been really walking and having this book here. So church, walk with Jesus, get in his word. Don't be a social media Christian. You know, make sure you get your cues here. You know, and nothing wrong with social media. I get great stuff on there all the time and a lot of bad stuff. But the whole point is, that's, you know, the matter of fact, when this thing first started going down, they said, we're off of social media. Wise move. They haven't been on it. And people would come and go, man, did you see what so-and-so said? And they're like, no, please, no. Don't tell us that. And so I got a lot more to say on this subject, but I just because of time, I know a lot is not going to be able to be heard. So just remember this week, believer, the enemy wants to bring reproach upon you. He wants to bring reproach upon us. Scripture says that. I'm going to preach this here when I can here next week. But I just want you to know, here's the deal. The reproach that comes is going to come in two ways. One will be because you're trusting the living God, or the other one will be because of you bringing on reproach by the way you're living your life. And there's a whole set, there's a small set in the Bible of things where he just says, you're bringing reproach because of this behavior, by this that's coming out of your mouth, by this decision you're making, by pulling these walls down, by building these walls up. We'll go through those things because I think we need to see them. Because, you know, honestly, if it's a reproach in your life or difficulty because it's something you brought on, then that means there's something you can probably do. But there's a lot of things like this situation where Mike did not bring reproach upon himself. This thing came out of the blue. That's one reason we thought, this is odd. You know, spiritual warfare when you can't put your hands on it, but people want to put their hands on it. It's very frequent that people, especially there's a case, they have to arrest even an innocent person, especially one that has a record, so that people are like, okay, we feel safe now. I got news for you, friend. It's still running wild and loose. They just wanted to put you at peace, you know? And so this is a situation where the Bible says the enemy has brought reproach upon us. And I'm thankful every step of the way as a pastor, like I wouldn't know what to do at times. And so usually it was me just spending time with Jesus in the morning. He would speak and say, do this, stand here. And we had a meeting once with all the people on social media and causing the mess in town. I remember God that morning in his word showed me, do not be kind to these people. I'm like, I'm going to bring more trouble. I am going to bring more trouble upon us. My wife leaves for work that morning. She goes, Mike, I'm praying for you, man. Just be gentle, be kind, you know. And I get it. But then God showed me in his word that it was the exact passage where a fight needed to take place. And so, boy, did they didn't expect that morning, did they, Joe? They walked in the room, and I was like, okay. Yeah, it's funny. This lady stood up and goes, well, Pastor, let's start this meeting out, and why don't you start with prayer? And I'm like, and why don't you stop now telling me what to do? Like, I was like, oh, my gosh. And, boy, that time, you know what? I got news for you. That was the day the social media trouble and reproach ended. I was like, thank you, God. You know, the Bible says an angry countenance turns away a backbiting tongue. And I'm so thankful for God just speaking in his word, giving us the cues, like what to do. What do we do now? Hey, do this, you know. So anyways, hey, church, thank you. I hope you love Mike and Maria. And thanks for standing during these difficult times. Even before this, it's just hard to stand. People didn't even know to come to church. You know, and that was everybody across the board, across the world, right? We just had a difficult time. So I can say this, through times like this, sometimes you dig a little deeper and look, and I'm just like, God has confirmed in my heart that he's put a calling in my life. Bad, good, no matter what the circumstances, he said, Mike, I've called you. You're going to do this thing. I don't know how it's going to end, and I'm hoping this thing ends well, you know, but I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. And I know there's a cost involved in it, and I'm going to pay that cost, but let me tell you something. I was in the front row when this went down. I was in the front row. I hated it. Mike's tears were dropping on me, man. I was like, God, these poor people, you know. And it was awful. And I didn't know what to do. And then, of course, when people said, you should do this, you should do that, don't do this, don't do that, we're going to do this, that's it, we're out of here, you know. I was like, wow, what can you do? I didn't know what to do. The beautiful part is I'm thankful this morning to the Lord for letting me be on the front row of being one of the first people to know that I'm free. They have nothing on me. So that's the benefit, isn't it, of being in ministry. And ministry's dirty, but you also get to see the dead raised to life. You get to see the sick healed. You just get to be there and see it. So I'm thankful for that, and I don't ever want to complain about it. Don't ever want to make it about me. It's like, Mike, you're doing a great job. The other day, he got asked because he had his attorney's shirt on, and somebody started talking to him. And he said, I had to go back and tell them what happened because I didn't tell them a lot of the dirt. But I just told him that Jesus Christ saved me, man. Not just my soul, but he delivered me from going to prison for 80 years. So praise the Lord. You're doing a great job of doing that, don't you think? Lifting Christ up, everybody? Yeah, praise the Lord. Hey, Jesus, we're here today for you, man. You are the Savior of our soul. Thanks for taking our sin, Lord, and leaving us clean. Lord, we want to risk the rest of our lives, Lord. We want to live to lift you up and to give you glory. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. In the honest way, we say thank you for taking us through these deep waters and proving yourself to be God. Lord, thank you. Thank you for sustaining us every day by feeding our inward man, Holy Spirit, by taking the word and speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the protection you've given our church. Lord, when the enemy was reproaching us and it looked like things could even get worse, Lord, you have protected us. So, Lord, 15 months sure seemed like a long time for us, and we know for you it was a drop. And so, Lord, we come to you, submit ourselves to you right now, saying we're going to trust you for the rest of our days. I pray we never forget this. I pray that we would keep telling this story to the world, to anybody that would listen, how you're a God that's real. God, and today, if anything I've seen and we've seen as a church is, God, you are relational. You speak. You listen. And Lord, you've loved. So today we want to praise your holy name. Lord, thank you for the Maple City Baptist Church. Thank you for Mike and Maria. And Lord, we keep lifting them up to you, and we keep lifting their children up to you, that this would spiral them in a direction, Lord, that would just magnify your name. So today we just want to say we love you. We love you so much because you reached out and you first loved us. Amen.